Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oceder makes your life easier.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
How marvelous. You haven't left yet.
I will shortly.
Oh, please. If there's anything I hate, it's a wet Sunday after a party. Have you had breakfast or brunch or something?
Oh, yes, ample. That nice girl, Frieda, took care of me.
She told me Kate got off early.
Yes, I drove her into North Falls.
You did? Well, I thought that the chauffeur was...
I made a few changes in the plan.
I see. Well, I hope it was a pleasant drive for you both.
It was a miserable drive. Kate hardly spoke to me.
Oh, Tony, I made a mistake, and I'm so sorry. I had no idea that Claire would be here.
I wanted Claire to meet her someday. Now that it's over, I'm glad it happened the way it did.
I don't follow you.
It's no secret to you, Holly, how I feel about Kate.
And it's no secret how Kate feels about you.
She has no use for me at all.
Well, you have given her a few shocks, Tony. Maybe if you had told her at the beginning that you were married...
I'd never have seen her again.
Could be. She's not the girl to play that kind of game. Then you sprang Claire on her. How did you expect Kate to feel?
Yeah. When we got to the bus station this morning, I found out there was no 9 o'clock bus for Belhaven. It doesn't run anymore. I made another offer to drive her down. She'd have none of it.
Where is she now?
In North Falls, waiting for the 1 o'clock bus.
4 hours? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's dreadful.
She preferred it to my company.
Oh, my poor Tony. You really don't understand women at all.
Does any man?
We'd be in trouble if they did. Stephen Wolf is going into North Falls. Maybe we could bring him back.
Well, don't do that, Holly.
Well, I understand they were old friends.
I don't think so, really. I don't know how she knows Wolf, but I think she's afraid of him.
Afraid of him?
I saw something like that in her face when she was talking to him. But she's put me where I can't help her.
Well?
I know Stephen Wolf. He's not hanging around Kate because she's attractive.
Did you tell Kate that?
Kate wouldn't listen to the time of day from me now.
Oh, she'll get over that, Tony.
Yeah, when, if ever, I'm free.
You know, Tony, I think she's right.
Damn
about
it, I know she's right, Holly. She couldn't possibly understand what my so-called marriage is. It's my problem, and I've got to solve it. Well, I'll hang around here until 1 when I know that bus has left, and then I'll go on back to the city.
Maybe this is the best thing that could have happened to you, Tony, in a long time.
Well, good morning, Holly.
Morning, Tony.
Yes.
Am I interrupting?
No, not at all, Steve. My goodness, you look drenched.
Well, I've just had a most invigorating walk. The rain's rather heavy, but the sky and mountains are superb. Well, Tony, did you get Kate to her bus?
Yes, I did.
Now, I just learned from one of your help, Holly, that there is no 9 o'clock bus. Kate had quite a wait.
What's that to you, Steve?
A friendly interest. We are old friends, you know.
Yes, you can tell me about it someday, Steve. Holly, I'll see you before I leave.
Yes, of course, darling.
Too bad. It's too bad Tony is so hostile to me.
I don't think he had a very good weekend.
Perhaps. Tell me, Holly. Tony is quite interested in Kate Wakefield.
Oh, I don't pair people off, Steve. I just didn't give the parties.
You're a very clever woman, Holly.
Oh, not at all. I just like my friends, and I like them to like each other. Mm-hmm. Kate is a lovely girl, and she added a great deal to the party.
Oh, indeed she did. But Tony's interest in her is very evident. And is also unfortunate.
Why do you say that?
Well, I've known Kate a long time.
Yes, I gathered that.
She's had rather a sad life.
Oh, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, she's managed to rise above it.
Well, more power to her. She'd be a wonderful girl for Tony if he ever got his freedom.
If he ever did. Now, he might find himself regretting it.
His freedom? Mm-hmm. Well, he's been asking for it for years.
Yes, it's not his freedom. What Tony would regret is his involvement with Kate.
Why? Why did you say a thing like that?
Like all of us. Kate Wakefield has to live with her past.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Sit down, Mrs. Wakefield. I'll be glad to talk to you.
If I'm not interrupting you, Mr. Frost.
The Sunday editor of the North Falls Star is not a busy man. If I were, I'd find time to talk to Tom Wakefield's widow.
Thank you.
Though I must admit, you don't look like what I thought. Tell me all over again. You missed the 9 o'clock bus.
It doesn't run.
That's missing it, isn't it? So you thought you'd come over and see us at the papers.
Yes, you see, I've never been in North Falls before. Not even at the time of Tom's horrible accident here.
I remember. You didn't come.
I wanted to. Tom's father kept me out of it. He said he'd handle everything. He wouldn't even talk to me about it. At that time or afterwards.
Mrs. Wakefield, that accident happened 5 years ago. Your husband's dead. Now, wouldn't it be easier and better to put it behind you?
I thought I could do that, but I can't.
It's up to you.
All I want to do now is look back into the newspaper files and read the whole story.
You won't find it there, my dear girl.
Where will I find it? Mr. Frost, it's very important that I know exactly what my husband was guilty of.
You know he was guilty?
Oh, yes. I do now.
Tell me, does somebody want to make trouble for you?
Well, there is somebody who can make trouble for me.
I see. Well, now, come on. I can show you what we printed.
If it's what they printed in Belhaven, I've seen it. A girl tried to signal Tom for a lift and stepped in front of his car and was killed.
That was about it.
But that wasn't what really happened. Oh, you must have some record of it.
I have. In my files. Stories I wrote that were never printed. That was one of them.
Could I see it?
It's not very pretty, Mrs. Wakefield.
I know that. I even know what it was, but you see, what I want is confirmation that I'm not being lied to again.
All right. I've kept it a long time, Mrs. Wakefield, maybe just for a time like this, when it might serve some use. It's over here in my private files.
Now, let's see now. Here we are. All right. Now, let's see. Now, you read that.
It has come to the knowledge of the North Falls Star that young Tom Wakefield of the Belhaven family was under heavy drugs the day his car struck and killed 17-year-old.
You don't have to read it all.
But I do. The Star also learned that Tom Wakefield has allegedly supplied drugs to local pushers in this area, and there has been no attempt to investigate. So it's all true.
Now I'll go home and forget it, Mrs. Wakefield.
Why wasn't this story printed in your paper?
Money. And a smart lawyer. Very smart.
I see.
Damnedest operation I ever saw. Phone calls, money sent here and there. Nobody saw much of the guy. But he seemed to know who needed money, who'd sell out. He went to jail later.
One more question.
Ask away.
Did you have any evidence at the paper that my husband would supply drugs as well as use them?
We found a high school kid who said he'd gotten the stuff from him and was pushing it.
Thank you for telling me.
Again, Mrs. Wakefield, take my advice. Forget it. It happened years ago. And in any case, you were not involved.
But I am involved, Mr. Frost. It may change my life.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Ladies, gentlemen, I am, for good or ill, as the case may be, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair. Have matters not taken a surprising turn? Of a sudden, ailing Miss Crawley announced to Sir Pitt she departs Queen's Crawley this very morning, and will take with her none other than Miss Becky Sharp. An unspeakable tumult already clamors in the baronet's head under his red nightcap. He would sooner lose anything on this earth than Rebecca. That is, anything except his money. And his money stopping his protests now. He dares not defy Matilda lest he lose her legacy. No one knows this better than his sister. Ill as she is, the lady is not so ill, but she enjoys goading him.
You cling to the bedpost. Are you ailing yourself? Best sit down.
Rebecca.
Something about Rebecca you wish to say?
Don't know. Did I hear you correct? You're taking Miss Becky to London. You did say that, Matilda.
I did.
You see, I...
Yes?
Can't do without Miss Becky, can't.
Are you by any chance saying you will not permit me to take her?
No. Saying you'll not keep her, Matilda.
Keep her? Certainly I shall keep her. Until I am well. She is a splendid creature. My Briggs is all nerves, the sick room. I want no strange nurse in my house, so I shall borrow Rebecca. Do you think you can endure her absence for a little time?
Yes, indeed. Glad to loan her, Matilda. Glad to assist.
You are not glad, little rooster. But you can do no other than let her go. How preposterous you are. A doddering old fool, out of your senses over a young thing one-third your age. Well, you must solace yourself as best you can whilst she's gone. Now go away. The sight of you makes me more ill.
Leave you by your lone, Matilda.
Rebecca will be along with my tea. Now go. Should you meet, you may have the pleasure of telling her the news.
Becky and Sir Pitt do not meet in the passageways. Do meet outside the kitchen where a pale, shaken baronet hastened to find her.
Becky! Rebecca!
Sir Pitt, what is it? Miss Crawley!
Yes.
Has she died? If she has, you killed her.
No, not died. What she had. She's a thief. She has stolen me treasure.
What are you talking about? Oh, you look like death yourself.
You're not stay, Miss Becky.
Stay?
With her, I beg you. Say you're not.
I have to stay with her. She won't let anyone else near. I don't even know why she allowed you in. Why did she?
Why did she? To torture me, laugh at me, mock me. Oh, that killed me, she did.
Oh, you look dreadful. Next thing I'll be nursing you. Now, what did happen?
Why'd you have to go and be such a fine nurse?
Did you expect me to be a bad one? Was I a bad one, is she worse?
No.
Oh, if she's worse, you'd not care. What is
no.
it? Will you please stop moaning and tell me what is amiss? I do believe you're off your head.
She's off.
Miss Crawley's off her head?
No, off to London.
What?
Becky.
She's leaving Queen's Crawley?
This morning.
Sir Pitt, are you saying she is taking me with her?
Stealing you away.
She is.
To nurse her while she ails. Oh, vow you'll not stay after she's well. Vow it, Becky.
Why, Sir Pitt, of course I shan't stay. Well, how could I leave you and my dear little pupils and Lady Crawley?
She'll try to keep you on. She will. I know
her.
Oh,
I'm certain she won't. She said more than once she has a full staff. What earthly use would I be other than a nurse?
Him will keep you if she don't.
Him who? What now are you talking about?
Him that sent you that blasted music box. Oh, don't say no. He's twined you right round his heart. Matilda told me.
Oh, poppycock. She's too romantic by far. Gordy, that's his name, is a nobody. Did he keep me from coming here in the first place and won't keep me in the second place?
Oh, promise, say he'll not.
I did say it. Oh, stop sniffling like her ladyship. Oh, now I must take Miss Crawley her tea. I promise I'll have your sister well in no time, and before you know it, be back at Queen's Crawley.
Oh, dear listeners, do not frown upon Becky's lie. To tell Sir Pitt she means never to set foot in this place again is to send him to an early grave. But will Miss Crawley spirit Becky away? And what of Mrs. Bute and her nefarious plan to ruin her? Distasteful as it may be, we shall attend Mrs. Bute shortly. Late last night, Mrs. Bute Crawley returned to the rectory from her call upon Miss Minerva Pinkerton. The Reverend Bute was sleeping the sleep of the just, and only this morning over early tea will he hear the particulars of what transpired at Chiswick. It is my duty to point out that the parson and his lady are doing their Christian duty, propelled forward by proper abhorrence of evil and vice.
Now, Mrs. Mute, we have said morning prayer, are about to have morning tea, and what other are we about to have?
Mr. Butte.
The news is not what we believe.
It is? You
turn your eyes up to heaven. That is not an answer.
Heaven is not an answer?
Oh, yes, yes. Heaven is indeed the answer to all questions, but you must give it voice. Kindly tell me what you have learned. I am fast running out of patience.
Can you not see I have learned most odious things? Hardly speakable.
Otherwise you would be a raging lioness. But why do you dally before you tell me all?
I don't know, truly, I don't, for I long to tell.
Oh, can we get on, then?
Miss Rebecca Sharp has laid snares, and Matilda is the victim of her arts. Miss Jezebel Sharp is after her money and Rawdon. What do you think of that, sir?
Oh, I think nothing. It is no more than we thought before. Where is proof?
I have it.
Well, then, in heaven's name, speak it.
Sharp is a vile parentage. Both maternal and paternal.
Ah.
She is well-schooled and well-trained, oh, yes. But her dreadful heredity will ruin her and all who touch her. And that is what I shall tell Matilda.
But 'tis not enough. Prove.
Prove as I can. If she doubts me still, she can query Miss Pinkerton.
Upon my word, Mrs. B., will you get on? What is her heritage?
Her father. A bankrupt, dissolute, drunken artist who lies in a pauper's grave.
So?
Her mother? I exactly quote Miss Pinkerton. Mm-hmm. Her mother was a creature of very lowest order and morals. A dancing girl.
On the stage? A fallen woman?
Mark you, Miss Sharp's lies. She has represented her father as a famous, distinguished artist, her mother as a French countess. Oh, Butte, my love, we will save your sister from this depraved wretch. So grateful will she be, she'll increase our inheritance.
One grave doubt assails me. And Matilda scorns morals and religion, laughs at wickedness and imprudent marriages. She's infatuated with that young woman. Why would she not delight in a marriage between Miss Sharp and Rawdon?
I have thought of all that. Yes, more's the shame. Matilda boasts how ultra-liberal she is. But not, mark you, regarding her own family.
Oh.
Recall her indignation when Pitt married beneath him.
Oh.
Nor would she allow her darling Rawdon to marry less than a peeress.
Ah, Miss Sharp has gone too far. Yet not so far that we can overtake her. Oh. Hatred of vice is always progress toward virtue. Do your Christian duty, Martha.
Alas, my dear listeners, Mrs. Butte is right about Matilda. And alas, you must wait until Monday to learn if once again Becky can outwit her enemies. Then and now, I am your servant, William Makepeace.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Finalnet. Non-aerosol hair mist. A sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast! Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
We're not too quick. This is my house, my home.
Yes.
Let's get in out of the rain. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Come in. Isn't this storm terrible?
Wow. Well, Aunt Maggie, this is Mr. Muramatsu from Japan. Oh. This is my aunt, Miss Sorensen, Mr. Muramatsu.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how do you do from Japan, Ma?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Muramatsu understands English but doesn't speak it, and the boss thought it'd be nice if Mr. Muramatsu visited an American home to see how we live. Oh. Where's Peg?
Yes. To see how we live, yes.
Yes.
Well... thank you for the cherry trees.
What? What are you talking about?
The cherry blossoms in Washington. The Japanese gave those to us, you know. I haven't seen them myself, just in pictures, but they certainly are lovely when they bloom in the spring.
Aunt Maggie, where's Peg?
Oh, yes. She's in the coat closet there on the floor with the dog.
Dear, for Pete's sake, crawl out of there, will you?
Close the door, can't you see Alex is terrified?
We have a guest, what? A house guest.
Oh!
Mr. Muramatsu, that's our dog. Oh. He is afraid of thunder.
Oh, yes.
And this is my wife.
Wife?
Yes. What is it, dear?
Dear, this is Mr. Muramatsu from Japan.
Why, how do you do? Our dog is scared of thunder, so I also get on the floor in the closet.
I just explained all that. House. Listen, Aunt Maggie, why don't you take Mr. Muramatsu out into the living room and show him the view from the picture window?
Well, you certainly can't see much with all this rain.
Aunt Maggie?
Yes. Well, come on in here, Mr...
Mr. Muramatsu. He understands you,
well,
I think, if he just doesn't speak it.
Yes.
What is all this? A house guest who doesn't speak English? You bring him home in this downpour? You didn't even phone?
The phone doesn't work. There was no answer. The lines must be down.
I don't understand any of this at all.
The poor guy got separated from his interpreter at the airport. Oh. He arrived here alone.
Oh.
The interpreter phoned and said he'd be up on the morning plane.
Oh, great.
In the meantime, Mr. Cranshaw thought it'd be nice if Mr. Muramatsu saw how an American family lives.
Lovely,
it's his first trip to the States.
Well, first of all, the cat has just had her kittens in the guest room closet, and she refuses to be moved.
All right. We'll cope with that later.
I plan and leftovers for dinner. There, Alex, darling, it's all... Look at him shaking.
Never mind the dog. What can we have for dinner? Can you take something out of the freezer?
Yes, I've got some shrimp. Oh, I can make tempura shrimp, and I've got some beef. I can make sukiyaki, a real Japanese meal.
You can get a Japanese meal in Japan.
Oh, yes. Well, probably better than I'd fix it, too. Hamburgers. What about hamburgers?
See if we've got a steak.
All right.
In the meantime, I'll give him kind of a tour of the house, show him how we live.
Honey, Debbie's room is a mess. She didn't pick it up as I asked her to. I stripped our beds and haven't made them up yet. I washed today. Aunt Maggie's been cleaning cupboards in the kitchen. There are dishes and pots and pans all over the place. The whole house has never looked worse.
How can you do these things to me? Really?
Oh, yes.
I think Aunt Maggie needs to be rescued. Come on.
Well, how are you two doing in here?
Yeah.
Why don't we all sit down and maybe visit a bit, and then I can see what you know.
I showed him the picture window and the bookcases and the fireplace and the chair.
Maggie, he's a very bright engineer. He knows chairs when he sees them.
I just meant, in Japan, don't they always sit on the floor?
Yes.
There, you see?
You don't have any chairs at all in your home, Mr. Muramatsu?
Yes.
I thought he just said they always sit on the floor.
Yes.
Well... Well, what fun, isn't it, having a foreign visitor?
Yes, it's so chilly out. Maybe he'd like some hot coffee to warm up.
Yeah. Oh, no, in Japan they drink tea, Aunt Maggie. Would you like a cup of tea?
Yes, thank you.
We're showing him how Americans live. He ought to try coffee.
Japanese drink coffee, too.
Well, which one would you like, coffee or tea?
Yes, I know.
Which one, coffee or tea?
Yeah,
I'll heat up some water. He can have either one or both.
All right, dear. Oh,
for heaven's sake. Oh, no. Why don't they fix that power line so it doesn't always do this? Every time we have a storm,
lights went out!
Yes, Debbie, we know. And come downstairs. We have a guest. I want to introduce you.
Look, let's get some candles lit. Where are the matches?
There should be some on the coffee table.
Light the candles on the mantelpiece, dear.
Just a minute, Mr. Miramatsu. The electricity just went off.
There's nothing to worry about, Mr. Miramatsu. Just an ordinary storm, not a typhoon.
Typhoon! A typhoon! Yes!
No!
Yes.
No!
That's a great word to use.
Yes, I don't know why I said it. Get some candles lit, will you? How am I going to cook dinner? Build a fire in the den, and I'll heat baked beans in a fry pan. We'll cook hot dogs on long forks.
Can't find the matches. I can't see a thing in the dark. Mr. Miramatsu, are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clear Oil commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clear Oil cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clear Oil cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clear Oil to know you're the best you can be.
Mr. Miramatsu, we don't usually eat like this. I mean, cooking hot dogs on forks over a fire in the fireplace.
You explained all that a dozen times.
Well, I just feel terrible. I mean, the house has been a mess. There's no electricity. Such a distinguished guest from Japan.
Yes.
Well, I feel a terrible draft coming from somewhere.
That's the wind, I think, coming down the chimney.
With a fire going?
Does Mr. Miramatsu have any children?
Well, I don't know. Why don't you ask him, Debbie?
Do you have any children? Children. Little boy, little girl.
Oh, yes.
Do you have any pictures of them? Pictures.
Yes.
Pictures.
Yes. I think he's getting out of his wallet. Yes. Bring the candle over, Debbie.
I still feel a terrible draft.
Well, Aunt Maggie, he's showing us pictures of his children, I think.
Yes, boy.
Oh, it's darling. Isn't he adorable? And this is the little girl?
Look at that. Aren't they something? Well, that's some nice family, huh?
Oh, isn't that lovely? Oh, no.
What in Sam Hill was that?
Oh, it's Mrs. Garrison's cow. Debbie, come on. Excuse us, please.
The doors in the dining room blew open.
I said I felt a draft.
Daisy's trying to get into the dining room.
Daisy, get back out. Go on. Debbie, you get your raincoat on and lead Daisy back to Mrs. Garrison's, and you tell her that I will talk to her in the morning. Honestly.
I told you to latch on those French doors. Daisy speaks to
me. I want to know what a cow is doing just wandering around.
Daisy is a pet. She runs away all the time and wanders in any place she can find, and I'm just getting tired of it.
Come on, Daisy.
Get her out of here now. Go on, Daisy. Oh, dear. Now, Mr. Miramatsu, it's a neighbor's pet, and she runs away a lot. The cow is not ours.
Yes.
We can always look at the funny side of it. A cow wandering into a dining room.
Yeah, bull in a china shop, huh? Mr. Miramatsu, we have an expression in America, like a bull in a china shop, and it means...
Forget it. You going to try to explain that?
No, I guess not.
I'm getting his coat. Mr. Miramatsu, I'm driving you back into town to a hotel where I'm sure you'll be much more comfortable.
I think that's a very good idea, dear, because with no electricity, we also have no bathroom facilities, since the pump isn't working and no water,
Yes, I never thought of that. Yes. Oh, dear, yes.
Well, I just thought of it, and at this point, I think that's all he needs on top of everything else.
Mr. Miramatsu, I'd like to apologize. I mean, this isn't our usual way of life.
I don't know. I'm beginning to think it is. We're going to get you to a hotel.
Oh, yes. Yes,
I will do my best to explain, and tomorrow the interpreter will be here, and he can fill in the gap.
He's glad to go to a hotel. It's been wonderful to meet you.
Yes.
And I hope you come again. And, thank you for the cherry blossoms, the ones in Washington.
Aunt Maggie thanked him for the cherry blossoms.
Yes, I thanked him for those.
Dear, well, fine. I don't know what else. Sayonara.
Oh, yes. Sayonara.
Sayonara.
Goodbye. Drive carefully, dear. If you got gas, that's all he needs now for me. Sayonara.
A fine introduction to the American way of life.
He must wonder how we won the war. Oh, dear, I'd certainly like to read the letter he writes home to his wife.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old chick.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Oh, the children will be sorry they missed you, Robert.
Well, perhaps you can all come out to River Run this weekend.
Well, they'd love it, particularly Jennifer.
I'm delighted to hear that. There's nothing that pleases a grandparent more than to know that he's popular with the younger set.
Well, I hate to disillusion you, but I'm afraid that right now Jennifer wants to find out all she can about skiing from Kurt.
Oh, I'm crushed. You know, I thought your children had better judgment than that.
Oh, they're still very fond of you, Robert.
Emily, I always thought children could detect the real character of a person.
I don't know about that. Fairy stories are full of trusting children and mean old witches.
Yes, well, Kurt isn't a witch, at least not that I know of.
Oh, why don't you give him a chance, Robert?
For what?
You just won't admit you wouldn't accept any man who married Lynn.
Well, I would if she'd picked the right man.
You had Kurt investigated while he was still in Switzerland.
Yes, and there's still something funny about that.
Well, you didn't find out anything, did you?
Well, not at the time, but since then... Well, Herr Hoffman said he wouldn't charge me because the man he hired for the job didn't submit a bill.
Well, that's strange, but... It has no connection with Kurt.
Well, I don't know. When I told Kurt about it, we agreed it was strange, and I said particularly for the Swiss. They're so businesslike.
Well, it sounds as though Herr Hoffman was being quite ethical, and Kurt agreed.
Yes, but then Kurt said that he wasn't Swiss.
I don't get it. Isn't Herr Hoffman Swiss?
Yeah, but that's just it. He is. Kurt said he meant the investigator. Kurt said he was French.
Well, what does that mean?
Oh, I don't know, Em. How did Kurt know the man checking up on him was French?
Well, why don't you ask him?
I will. Don't worry.
There's probably some simple explanation.
Perhaps.
How is Lynn?
Very happy.
Well, isn't that what you want?
You women are all alike. Caroline says just the same thing.
Oh, I thought that was your car in the driveway, Robert.
Angela, how are you?
Oh, a little tired and glad to be home.
Rough day at the hospital.
We got some more cases transferred from Brixton.
You hear from Jason?
No. Did you talk to him, Ed?
No, I thought I'd call him later. He's usually away from the phone during the day.
He's still staying with his friends?
Yes, the Anthonys.
I understand he knew both of them.
Mm-hmm. They were in Korea together. Helen was a nurse and Paul a surgeon.
Well, how did they know where to reach Jason after the explosion?
Oh, I really don't know, Robert.
That's right. They hadn't been in touch all these years.
Well, it might have been some professional connection. And now I think I'd better be getting on home.
I'm glad you came by, Robert.
And I can tell Caroline you'll be out this weekend. And you too, Angela?
Well, I'll see what the children have penciled in on their social calendar, and I'll call Caroline tonight.
All right, fine. Oh, listen, Angela, if the Carters are all spoken for, you come out anyway, huh?
Oh, thank you. And let me give it some thought.
Well, Anne was talking about you this morning.
Pleasantly, I hope.
Oh, indeed, yes. Caroline's been hinting at Anne's single state, and Anne cited you as a perfect example of unwedded bliss.
Robert, I may take a lover any day now, and you will be the first to know.
Now, don't do anything rash.
You don't know it, but you're driving me to it.
Robert, for a happily married man, you certainly don't seem to believe in it.
Well, marriage is great for men. It's just not all that great for you women.
Do you want me to tell Caroline that? Sometimes I don't know whether to laugh at your father-in-law or throw something at him.
He's a bit of an original, I must say.
So many men look on an unmarried woman as a challenge or a rebuke. Robert seems to think of us as lucky.
I think it's a cover-up for the fact that he can't really let men go.
Mm.
If he disapproved of marriage just for her, then he'd have to admit he was being possessive.
You may be right.
Although I can't really fault him for being concerned about Kurt.
You don't like him, Annette?
He doesn't strike me as the marrying kind.
Well, he is now.
Angela, do you have any idea how many married people, men and women, there are who aren't really the marrying kind?
No. Tell me.
Oh, well, you know what I mean. Hey, listen, it's 5:30. I think I'm going to see if I can reach Jason. Might just catch him. Is there anything you want me to tell him?
Just that everything's fine at Jefferson.
Okay. Dr. Anthony? Paul?
Yes, this is Paul Anthony.
Oh, this is Emily Carter.
Oh, hello, Emily. How are you?
I'm fine. Is Jason there?
Not yet, but we're expecting him any minute.
Are things getting any better?
Well, bit by bit, we're getting cleaned up. Your husband's been... Well, I don't know how to say it, Emily. He's been a rock.
Well, that's Jason, all right. Have you found out what caused the explosion?
Not yet. They won't even release information on what was in those tank cars.
Well, can they do that?
Well, not for much longer, they can't, if I can help it.
Look, give my regards to Helen, and when Jason gets in...
I'll have him call you right away.
Oh, thanks, Paul. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Well, she sounds nice.
She certainly calls him a lot.
Considering he's been in a tough spot and she's not well, doesn't seem too often.
I'm going to hate to see him leave.
Why?
Well,
Haven't you felt it, Paul? Some of the excitement there was in Korea when we were together working until we dropped.
That was more than 20 years ago, Helen.
Doesn't seem that long.
I wonder if I'm going to regret calling Jason in.
Oh, how can you say that? What was between Jason and me? It's ridiculous. It's so long ago.
I'll never forget that look on his face when he arrived here last week and realized that we'd married.
I thought he knew.
He said he never heard from us after he left.
I thought I sent him an announcement.
Wonder if he would have come if he knew.
What difference could it make? He's married now.
And with three children.
Yes.
Helen, do you mind very much?
Not having children? Oh, sometimes. But we've been busy.
Did you think much about Jason?
When?
In the last 20 years.
Oh, once in a while. When I tried to talk you into throwing out your uniform. Or, when I came across some old snapshots.
There were times when I've wondered.
About me and Jason?
When we were sort of a threesome in Korea, I always thought you'd marry him.
Oh, it was during wartime, Paul. Everything was distorted.
We got married.
That was different.
Was it?
Why are we discussing something that happened so long ago?
Because we're all back together again. A lot of thoughts and feelings that I had then are back, too.
Forget it, Paul.
I'm remembering how I always felt left out. You and Jason would go off and...
Now, there were plenty of nurses who would have been happy to give you a tumble.
Well, I guess I didn't want a tumble, Helen. I wanted what you and Jason had.
So, when he left...
Yes, when he left, you were so unhappy.
Oh, Paul, come on.
I remember the night he flew out. I went looking for you. And you'd gone up that little hill we'd call Lover's Leap, remember? And I found you there, and you were crying.
Well, we were all pretty strung out then. Everything was larger than life. I guess because it was life and death.
And we both cried.
We both loved it.
I've often wondered about that.
You never said anything.
I've wondered if you and I would have gotten married if we hadn't both cried that night about Jason. It brought us so close together.
To Hold has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.